It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 13th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, the Federal Communications Commission has an open meeting about a phone line issue called IP transition. But even the most trivial FCC deliberation these days takes place in the shadow of the net neutrality debate, the question of whether internet service providers need to deliver all information to us online with equal speed. Brian Fung of The Washington Post will be watching today's meeting. Thanks for chatting with us, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so what is IP transition?
IP transition is basically a move from copper-based telephone networks to fiber optic cables. And the idea is that sooner or later, our telephone networks will all be based on the same technology.
How does net neutrality as an issue sort of loom over this particular meeting, which isn't really expressly about net neutrality?
So as I was just sort of suggesting, the networks that we're setting up to handle all of our phone traffic are going to be very similar to the networks that carry internet traffic. Where do you draw the line between a Skype or Google Voice call and a traditional phone call if both are traveling over internet pipes, essentially? And so do you regulate those the same way or do you regulate those differently?
Brian Fung is a technology reporter for The Washington Post. Brian, thank you very much.
Thanks again.
All this week, we've been doing a series called The Data on Our Data. A year after the Edward Snowden leaks, it's a look at five singular data points that remind us how much we now know about surveillance and how much the surveillers know about us. So here's this week's last number.
85 to 100,000 malware implants.
That is our friend Chester Wisniewski of the cybersecurity firm Sophos. He's talking about the bits of malicious software that the National Security Agency has put onto computers around the world. That software allows the government to conduct surveillance, but it's also essentially building a network of inputs, of weaknesses in our vast system of computing devices.
This often introduces vulnerabilities to computer systems and can have far-reaching effects if criminals are able to kind of learn from some of this highly advanced code being deployed by the government.
Criminals learning from the government. I think this last data point is actually really profound. No matter how we conduct war, it's important to remember that when we build new weapons, we run the risk and the threat of those weapons being used against us. And the question is when and if that's worth it. You can find more of our series from this week at marketplacetech.org. Marketplace Tech is listener supported, and twice a year, we invite you to make a gift to support the tech and business reporting you've come to rely on. A gift from you in any amount helps fuel a daily dose of tech news from Marketplace. Help us end the budget year strong by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th. It's Silicon Tally time, the game where I and a worthy adversary try and stump each other with tech news numbers. We've been talking data and surveillance, and so this week we have a special guest. Journalist Glenn Greenwald is the author of No Place to Hide, Edward Snowden, the NSA, and the U.S. Surveillance State. Glenn, are you ready to play a special NSA version of Silicon Tally?
I am very ready.
All right, I've got a number for you. 550,000 miles.
Right, the amount of fiber optic cables that compose the internet?
Pretty much on point. It's the total length of the undersea cables that carry electronic communications around the world. The NSA apparently taps into that network to collect communications as they flow past.
Yeah, I think I deserve the point.
You get one. All right, you got something for me?
I do. 2,892,343,446.
The amount of money that it costs to build massive data centers in Utah and elsewhere where they store all of the data that they're collecting all the time?
No, I'm sorry.
Darn it.
The number 3 billion is the number of emails and telephone calls one unit of the NSA collected from American telecommunication systems in March of 2013. So just in a 30-day period.
All right, I got another number for you. 1.8 million webcams.
I would say that is the number of webcams that the GCHQ, which is the British NSA counterpart, spied on and collected data from.
Man, you're pretty good at this game, it turns out.
I've been working on this for a little bit, this issue.
Over a six-month period in 2008, GCHQ and the NSA collected images from more than 1.8 million webcams using Yahoo Messenger. All right, so you got something for me?
35,484 to 12.
I feel like no matter what I guess, I'm going to be sad.
It is not a happy number, that's true. This number is the number of times the FISA court, 35,000 is the number of times they have approved government requests to surveil Americans in their 35-year history. 12 is the number of times that they've rejected those requests. So to call the FISA court a rubber-stamping court, I think, is to understate the case.
Glenn Greenwald is a journalist with The Intercept, also the author of No Place to Hide, Edward Snowden, the NSA, and the U.S. Surveillance State. Glenn, thank you for playing along, sir.
Thanks for having me.
It is Friday, so I wanted to leave you with one bit of lighthearted news and proof that sometimes, yes, on our show, we do predict the future. A few weeks ago, I was talking about Pet Match, the app that uses facial recognition to find a new pet that looks just like your old one, and I said this. I hope to be long gone from this world by the time we use this technology to combine Tinder with photos of our exes. Okay, so not Tinder, but yes, Match.com has announced it will do exactly this with the help of a service called 3-Day Rule. I think I'll just leave it right there. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.